and anytime via webcast at spectrum360media.com. Remember, Spectrum 360, news, politics, and arts from a creative and progressive point of view.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
That's what it is. And I'm battling a little bit of a, I guess you could call it a sniffles, I guess is the best way of describing it, but I'm all right. Glad to be here. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thanks. Thank you for joining us. It is September the 25th. We are rolling along in this month. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk to him about the testimony last week of Attorney General Merrick Garland before the House Judiciary Committee on that Hunter Biden probe. Did you see that by any chance? I'll tell you what, Muhammad Ali could not have caught Merrick Garland. He was ducking and weaving so well. Just absolutely amazing. We'll talk about it. Meantime, House Republicans are trying to cobble together a spending bill before the money runs out on Saturday. The latest I heard this morning is that they might be close, but we will take a look. Can they do it before the so-called government shutdown, which would occur this Saturday? We'll talk about it. And Republican presidential candidates are gathering together Wednesday night at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California, for the second presidential debate. Guess who won't be there? Donald won't be there, no. I think he's going to be in Detroit talking with UAW workers. So we're going to take an overall look at that debate. And in our ultimate top 10, if you were with us on Friday, you heard the top 10 cities with the most murders so far this year. This time, the top 10 cities with the highest murder rate, which is a little bit different so far this year. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For my money, the best barber in Tampa Bay, guys. You want to get the best haircut at the lowest price? Believe me, I'm a kind of guy that likes to shop around for the best he can get. And this is the one. It's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Call first for your appointment. By the way, they're open Tuesday through Saturday, so wait till tomorrow. But call 727-733-3773. And we're also sponsored by Arbor Life Tree Service. I've used them. They're terrific. Whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever, if it has to do with trees, it's Arbor Life, Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, I wouldn't want to be Kevin McCarthy. He is getting it from both sides. I was listening over the weekend to some of these, I guess you could call them far-right congressmen that are kind of holding his feet to Kevin McCarthy's feet to the fire. They want that border secured, and they don't want McCarthy kowtowing to the Democrats. The problem is that if you don't get anything passed, then it's going to be the Democrats' package that will be sitting there on the table. And we've got this guy from Florida, his name now escapes me, but he's part of that coalition that does not like Kevin McCarthy, Republican House member. And he was on Fox News. He was talking with Maria Bartiromo. And he had, they've dug their heels in. They don't want Kevin McCarthy to give an inch. The problem is, then McCarthy can't get to cobble together any kind of an agreement. So anyway, we got till Saturday. And on Friday, McCarthy said he still hopes to get a Republican-only short-term spending bill passed this week. He shifted his strategy a little bit to focus on passing a full-year appropriation bill. After a series of debates this week, as we talked about, from those to the right of McCarthy in the conference. So we'll see exactly what is going to go on there. He says this, I still believe if you shut down, you're in a weaker position. This is McCarthy talking. You need the time to fund the government while you pass all the appropriations. You know, it's don't we go through this every single year? Are we getting a little tired of it? Yes, we are. Should we figure out a way to fully fund the government without coming to the end of the rope every year? And having this occur, yes. Should we start cutting back on our government spending? Yes. Can we cut back in every department in the government? Yes. Are we $33 trillion in debt? Yes. Does it bother most people? You know, that's a good question. No, it doesn't. Would it bother most people if our system, our economic system collapsed because we all of a sudden nobody would fund our debt? Yes, then they would worry about it. And we go to hell in a handbasket. One of these days we're going to have to, you know, the so-called balanced budget amendment has been around since I was a kid. They've talked about that, which would force the government to be like a lot of states, which would mean that you could only spend as much as you take in. And you couldn't go and borrow any money. You have to become fiscally responsible. Well, at $33 trillion in a federal debt, we are not, obviously, fiscally responsible. Now, this is good news for Donald Trump. Did you see this, Ed? Donald Trump is leading Biden by 10 points in the latest poll, a Washington Post ABC poll came out over the weekend. It has Trump leading Biden 52-42%. However, the Washington Post quickly downplayed their own poll. The Post said, quote, the sizable margin of Trump's lead in this survey is significantly at odds with other public polls that show the election contest a virtual dead heat. The difference between this poll and others, as well as the unusual makeup of Trump's and Biden's coalition in this survey, suggests it is probably an outlier. In other words, they don't want to admit that their own survey shows that Trump is leading Biden by 10 points.
And the people that voted for Biden don't want to admit it, that they were wrong.
So, along with this, apparently, the respondents also had a poor view of Biden's handling of the economy and the U.S.-Mexico border. Well, duh! There's no handling of the U.S.-Mexico border. It's in complete disarray, as we so eloquently discussed on Friday. It's the worst I have ever seen. If I was going to be really upset and want to march on Washington, I think that we're getting close to it with this border situation. It's absolutely unbelievable that anybody, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, would tolerate this. It defies logic.
Here's the problem.
It defies logic.
We got a problem that they're coming in and still coming in. But eventually, when we shut it down, eventually, and that may take a year, if you know what I mean, or over a year, what do we do with the people that are here?
I agree. It's very hard. Once the genie's out of the bottle, how do you put the genie back in the bottle, right? And how would we look? Look, you know how the press and the media would handle it if we would go around pulling all of these people that are now here, that are illegally here, and tossing them back over the fence, right? You know how the media would handle that.
Yeah.
It would be very hard. AOC. And Republicans don't have the spine to do it.
Yeah. AOC would be on the border crying again.
Wouldn't need AOC. She wouldn't even have to say a word about it with the press and all the Democrats and even some of the Republicans that would have a big yellow streak up their back.
Mm-hmm.
About returning some sort of semblance and normalcy to the process. Anyway, let us take our break, and when we come back, we'll switch gears a little bit. Our buddy Hans von Spakovsky is going to join us from the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about Merrick Garland and his testimony in the Hunter Biden probe last week before the House Judiciary Committee.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. It's on a Monday, and we're so glad that you're with us and delighted to have an old buddy back, Hans von Spakovsky of the Great Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk about Merrick Garland's testimony, or lack thereof, before the House Judiciary Committee this past Wednesday. And Hans, watching this Merrick Garland and his performance, he was dodging and weaving so much with those questions. I don't even think Muhammad Ali would have laid a glove on him. What do you think?
Well, no, unfortunately, you're right. And his answers show that he is either the most incompetent attorney general we've had in decades in that office, or he is a complete and total liar. And I'll give an example of what I mean. Look, he was asked about, you know, the Hunter Biden investigation, and he said he basically can't recollect whether he had personal contact with anyone at the FBI about the investigation into presidential son Hunter Biden. That's one of the most attention-getting, controversial, important investigations of the Justice Department, and he's claiming he can't remember whether he's talked to anybody at the FBI about it. You know, please.
I know.
It's just nutty for him to say that.
Recollect is the lawyer's term for I really can remember it, but I don't want to say it because I might commit perjury. Because if I said I didn't remember, I'd be lying. So if I say I can't recollect, that way you can't lay a glove on me, Mr. Ali. I mean, this guy was sitting there and then about the statute of limitations on the most egregious of these charges against Hunter Biden. And Weiss
you know, this handpicked guy, and this guy, I'm going all over the place with this, but let me do it anyway. David Weiss, as if every other sentence out of Merrick Garland's mouth was, Weiss was appointed by Donald Trump. That doesn't make Weiss a conservative Republican out to get Hunter Biden or out to even do a fair dealing with Hunter Biden, right?
No, particularly when you realize that he was the guy who was recommended by the two Democratic senators from Delaware. And Trump really didn't have a lot of choice because, you know, in essence, he was being told that if he didn't go with the guy that the two Democratic senators recommended, they would prevent anyone else from being the U.S. attorney. And that's never mentioned in any discussion.
No.
About this.
I mean, the fix is in. Everybody knows the fix is in. Everybody is winking and nodding. And here's Merrick Garland playing the deer in the headlights kind of a thing. They let the statute of limitations go out. Weiss was in there. How long has he been looking at this? 5 years?
And, 5 years.
Five years. And the biggest, most egregious of the charges have gone through and passed the statute of limitations. I could have indicted Hunter Biden within a couple of weeks if they had given me the job for this gun charge. That one was, I mean, 5 years for that?
Yeah, it's easy. It was a three-paragraph indictment. But look, here's the other thing that shows you that he is, Merrick Garland is a liar. And I say this from my personal experience. Because, look, I spent 4 years inside the Justice Department. When he was asked questions by the members of Congress about the plea deal that fell apart, he basically professed profound ignorance, not knowing anything about the case. Let me tell you. An attorney general, when something like that happened, would have immediately asked for a complete briefing from the lawyers involved to tell him what exactly happened and what was exactly going on. And I know that because I used to do that.
Yeah.
I prepared briefings for senior Justice Department officials on cases in the news, what was happening. And the idea that he would not have been briefed on what was going on in that case and wasn't happening is just, any veteran of the Justice Department will tell you, that is simply not believable.
Indeed. We're talking with Hans von Spakovsky. He is the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about the Merrick Garland testimony this past week in front of the House Judiciary Committee. Hans, I was listening to one of those talk shows over the weekend, and the thought came up that why don't they just go ahead right now and subpoena Hunter Biden to testify before either the Oversight or the Judiciary Committee? Do you think that would be a good idea, or should they wait until they gather more info?
No, I think they should wait till they gather more info, because I can tell you what would happen. If he came up in front of the committee, he would not answer any questions because his lawyer would constantly be having him asserting the Fifth Amendment, you know, the right not to say anything that could get you criminally charged. And the only way they could overcome that, Congress could overcome that, is if they said, well, we will grant you immunity from any of your testimony from prosecution over anything you say or reveal. And do we really want to give Hunter Biden immunity right now?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
That's what the Justice Department, that's in essence what the Justice Department tried to do in that plea deal that fell apart, where the only punishment he was going to get in that plea deal was probation.
Yeah. I mean, this whole exercise, Hunter Biden is just a conduit. And, of course, the whole exercise is to find out whether or not President Biden, as vice president, or indeed as president, has been taking bribe money. I mean, that's really what this is all about. So the House cannot indict anybody. right? I mean, the House can present the information, and I guess I think they're doing a pretty good job. Maybe you have a different feeling, Jim Jordan of the group.
I think they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
But remember, what they can do, the only thing they could do is they could impeach the president, but that requires them to do what they've actually done so far, which is to open an impeachment inquiry, which gives those committees more power to investigate this. And that's the key to finding out whether is there sufficient evidence that the president should be impeached.
Yeah. What about getting back to Garland? It seems pretty obvious to, I would say, the average onlooker that Garland is running interference for the Biden administration. He reports to the president, so there is a huge conflict of interest. It would have made sense to me that from the get-go, once they found out that there might have been some sort of hanky-panky going on with Hunter Biden and his father, that they should have immediately considered appointing an independent, or whatever you want to call it, prosecutor or whatever, to look at this, rather than somebody from within Biden's own administration. I guess that's being, that's asking for too much?
No, in fact, the regulation issued by the Justice Department themselves state that when there is a conflict of interest, then the Attorney General is supposed to appoint an outside counsel. And clearly, there is a conflict of interest here for every single lawyer working in the Justice Department, because who are they investigating? The son of their ultimate boss, and potentially their ultimate boss.
Yes.
And so he should have brought in an outside counsel. And it's not as if there aren't a lot to choose from. There are lots and lots and lots of former DOJ lawyers, former judges, many of whom would have done an outstanding job with this. And what did he do? He avoided doing that. Instead, he gave it to the lawyer who was recommended by the two U.S. senators from Delaware,
yeah.
The two Democratic U.S. senators from Delaware.
Oh, my goodness. We're talking again with Hans von Spakovsky of the Great Heritage Foundation, where he is a senior legal fellow, about this whole imbroglio regarding Hunter Biden and his father. You remember, Hans, maybe you're old enough like I am to remember Bernstein and Woodward, when they went after Richard Nixon, the Washington Post,
right,
and all of the things that they... Can you imagine if we had the same kind of reporters on the trail of Hunter and Joe Biden, but none of the mainstream media? They're running cover. They're running as much cover as Merrick Garland for these characters.
No, that's absolutely right. And look, just a quick example of that is, look, there's all kinds of information that's come out from executives of Burisma, right?
Yes. Indeed. You still there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I think we lost you there for a second. Yes.
Whoa, I guess we did lose him.
Okay, maybe we can... We'll get him back, I think, here. Is he back yet, Ed? No? All right. We're going to try and get him back. We're coming towards the end of the interview anyway, but I hate to cut him off like that. Hey, this is live radio, folks. What do you expect? Something like this happens every once in a while. But Hans is a great guy, and he knows what he's talking about when it comes to any of this stuff. Maybe we'll get him back. Anyway, have we got him back? Not yet. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll just have to move on. We're towards the end of this interview anyway. Sorry that we had that situation. Did we get him back yet? Okay. Hang on, folks. Hi, Hans, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm so sorry. Technical difficulties. I'm sure Merrick Garland Merrick Garland had something to do with this. I think the last thing we were talking about was, before we kind of lost you, was the Woodward Bernstein situation and the fact that the mainstream media is running as much cover as Merrick Garland seems to be in this whole imbroglio.
No, that's absolutely true. And to just give you one quick example of what things would be like if they were actually doing their job, is that, look, the evidence uncovered by the House committees have shown that the president of Burisma, the energy company that hired Hunter Biden, he's made all kinds of comments about the help they were getting from President Joe Biden, et cetera. Well, why hasn't the Washington Post or the New York Times, but why haven't they sent any reporters to go interview him?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Why hasn't the Attorney General and his Justice Department done something like that? Have they interviewed Shokin, who was the prosecutor of the who was going to be the prosecutor before Biden had him fired, or they wouldn't get $1 billion to the Ukraine? Remember, Shokin's available to be talked with. He says he was going after Burisma, and all of a sudden they dropped him like a hot potato.
Right, right. You know, it tells you something that Fox News got an interview with him just a little while ago, and yet
yes,
the U.S. Justice Department
they can't find him.
Interviewed him.
It's unbelievable. Oh, gosh. Well, as always, Hans, it's a real pleasure. I'm sorry for the phone glitch that we had, but it's always a pleasure to have you on. You know so much. Thank you so very much for your time this morning.
Sure thing, anytime.
All right, buddy. Hans von Spakovsky.
You know how the investigation would be a whole lot different?
How?
Replace Hunter Biden with Donald Trump Jr.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
He would have been in jail a long time ago.
Ooh.
He probably would be in solitary, now that I think about it.
They'd have gone after the grandkids by now.
Oh, absolutely. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Republican presidential candidates are getting together on Wednesday night to be exact, in California, for their second debate. Donald Trump, he's going to be a no-show again. We're going to take an overall look at the whole situation.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Monday at Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. So, President Biden is going to be showing up in Michigan tomorrow to support the United Auto Workers strike. Few details have been released so far. Here's the thing. I want him to drive up in an electric vehicle and jump out of this EV and then wander into the crowd. I think those union members would be nice and happy to see that. Or, no, maybe he should... Doesn't he have a Corvette that he parks near all of the papers that he stole when he left as vice president? He could drive up in his Corvette, and he could wave to everybody. But apparently he's going to stand in solidarity. He says this, I'll go to Michigan to join the picket line and stand in solidarity with the men and women of the United Auto Workers as they fight for a fair share of the value that they helped create. Isn't Donald Trump going to show up there, too?
Yeah.
I think the Donald is going to show up there on Wednesday when that debate is going on. It'll be interesting to see who gets the better...
Well, Biden's going to warm up the crowd for him.
Oh, that's it. Now I
understand. Kind of like that band you don't get there early to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of gets the crowd.
It's like before Elvis came on the...
They'll chant, let's go Brandon, you know, stuff like that. Hey, did you see the... I got to find where it was, but we can't play it, of course. I think it was NASCAR one of the Fox affiliates was out there, news live, and he went to the driver, and they were going to sign the wall. I guess he signed the wall. And he goes, what are you going to sign in there? And he said, F Joe Biden.
Really?
But he used the real word.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he did, right on the...
Oh, well, there you go. Don't ask those kinds of questions. You never know what you're going to get.
NASCAR tells it like it is. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why you'll never see Joe Biden in a NASCAR event again.
Wouldn't that be great?
That's how the whole Brandon thing started.
I would love to have him riding in the pace car.
Made of electricity. You know, the electric car.
Yeah, an electric vehicle.
There's that one way back that's got to stop. And instead of gassing up, he's got to pull over for 4 hours. And charge his electric car back up, and then get back in the race.
Exactly. There you go. That it
can
would
you
be
imagine? Can you imagine a race of electric cars then? So
a pit stop would last 45 minutes.
Probably an hour. So they could cut away to a break or something like that, and show a movie, and come back to the race.
Exactly.
You get your hair done, and you're
you go shopping and come back.
Yeah.
Hey, we got our buddy, our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi, joining us. He comes with to the show virtually every Monday to tell us a little bit about what is going on. Angelo, how are you?
Good morning. Doing very good. How about you guys?
We're doing pretty good. We're having some fun here. We're talking about this debate coming up Wednesday in California. I guess there are going to be six or possibly now seven people on stage, not including Donald Trump. Are you going to be watching that, Angelo?
I hope to be watching it, to see. Actually, without the Donald there, it's really not a debate,
Well.
We know what his record is, right? And his record was very good. And how are they going to do better than the Donald?
Well, you're right about that. The Donald has that certain electricity when he shows up that won't be there. But they generated some electricity in that first debate, don't you think?
A little bit. But
if you were not going to be able to vote for Trump, is there of those candidates that are currently running on the Republican ticket, is there any other candidate you kind of like at all?
I would vote for Ron DeSantis.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that this debate here is a chance for Ron DeSantis to distance himself from everybody else and maybe close the gap a little bit on the Donald. And if he doesn't do that, then it's already in the bag.
But so far it's going the other way.
Yeah, I know. He's not able to do it. Yeah. I'm not going to watch it. First of all, because Survivor's on, and it's the season premiere.
Oh, good. Okay.
So I'm just going to catch the highlights afterwards. You know, it's like the game you don't want to watch. Just show me the couple of scores that were made and stuff like that. So
I'm going to be watching it. I enjoy watching those things. And I think you're right about DeSantis has got to make a move. I mean, it seems like, you never know who wins a debate or loses a debate. I think it's almost like it dissipates a few days later, and it doesn't make much difference. You know what I mean?
You got people like, remember Rubio? In 2016?
Marco Rubio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When he kept repeating the same thing about Obama, And you know, the crowd started to pick up on it, started to moan, because he'd go, well, I remember Obama, he did this, blah, blah, blah. He kept saying that like two or three times, and it appeared that his load has been shot and he had nothing left.
Yeah.
And he made a fool of himself. And, of course, you know, Jeb Bush with his whole thing.
Yeah, please clap.
Yeah.
That was at a
fundraiser.
Please. Would you please clap? What's wrong with you people? So, Angelo, you were saying Ron DeSantis, but the way things are going, what does he have to do? Do you think that there's anything that Ron DeSantis can do other than drop his pants in front of everybody to generate more attention?
Well, I don't know. You know what Ron DeSantis' record is. You know what he has done for the state of Florida.
Yeah, it's a good one.
You know, very good. And those other people, I mean, like Nikki Haley and stuff, we know what they did. You know what I'm saying? Those people should actually drop out of the presidential race and back Donald Trump and call the Democrats bluff to see, you know, if they try to put him in jail and all that stuff. You know, he's leading right now, 50%, maybe more than that, right now amongst the Republican Party.
Matter of fact, earlier in the show, we talked about this latest Washington Post, I think it was ABC poll, that has Donald Trump leading Joe Biden by double digits now.
By 10%, yes.
Now, whether 10%. Or not that's an outlier, even the Washington Post immediately said they thought it was an outlier. In other words, that it might not be an accurate reading. But you're right, 52% to 42% for Trump if the election were held right now. But it might be that horse leading the rest of the horses right now. The other surveys will start to show something possibly more like this. What do you think?
Well, I mean, how can anybody in their right mind vote for Joe Biden? You got the auto workers strike, right?
Yep.
He's going to go down there. You know that the Democrats always have the union people have a key to the back of the White House, you know, to the back door of the White House.
Yep.
They've always supported the Democrats. How in their right mind can the auto industry, the union workers, support a president who is trying to throw them under the bus by pushing all this electric vehicles and everything else?
Because some of these
put people out of work.
Some of these people don't care enough that they don't want to vote for Trump. It's not voting for Biden. It's voting against Trump. And in their mind, they're thinking, oh, well, I'll just vote against him, and then we'll put Biden back in there.
Speaking,
well, you know,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Angelo, speaking about this situation, President Biden's circle fear that Trump is outmaneuvering them on the auto workers' strike with his decision to go to Detroit this week. There's an article in Politico, and it was actually published last week, but it revealed that Trump was running a more sophisticated campaign than in previous cycles, and that Biden's operation needed to step it up. So I don't know if you heard it, but Ed and I were thinking that it would be cool if Biden drove up to the UAW workers that are wandering around in an EV.
Wouldn't that be cool? He's pushing it, isn't he?
I think it would be cool.
He's pushing it. And then the auto workers could see what he's really doing.
Yeah.
He put people on that pipeline. He put them out of work, right? All those thousands of people. He's going to put all these auto workers' unions out of work with these electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And who do you think is going to get the priority to build these vehicles? China. Because he's in bed with the Chinese.
That's right. It'll be kind of interesting to see Biden. I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to it from a whatever point of view. To see him try to wander, first of all, he's not going to wander into the crowd because somebody would hit him with a lead pipe. But, you know, to stand there, I wonder if there'd be all kinds of booing going on while he's trying to talk.
But you know what? I'm sure that they're being told to be polite.
Oh, yeah. Would you be polite if you were in that group, though, that was striking?
Ask me what I would do if the dumb cuff got his directions mixed up, which he would, and walked in this back door. It wouldn't be pleasant.
No, it wouldn't be.
I'm sorry.
Paul and I, my wife the other night, we were watching this movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Oh, yes. I know the movie well.
You know very well. Well, then you know what the political machine was doing to Jefferson Smith, right?
That's correct.
How they belittled him, and they printed all these papers, all these things, just like they did to Donald Trump.
That's true.
That movie today, that movie from yesterday, still holds true today.
Yeah.
What they did to Donald Trump.
That's right.
And it hasn't changed.
The
and
political
the
machine
American
got...
people,
yep. Go ahead.
The people got brainwashed that Jefferson Smith was anti-American, this and that. He was a criminal, all this and that. Just like what the Democrats did to Donald Trump, saying that he was a criminal, he was a communist, the whole nine yards. When in actuality, in the end, that other guy, Claude Rains, admitted what they had done.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And the Democrats are doing today, and what they did yesterday to Donald Trump, it still holds true today.
Yep.
The American people should watch that movie and see what really transpires in Washington.
It was a great movie. In fact, I think Jimmy Stewart should have won an Oscar for his performance. But it was a great movie that did, in its own way, show how you can use the media. And this movie was made in 1939. How you can use the media. In this case, it was all the newspapers that the bad guy controlled to get out a story.
Shows, and the radio shows.
And the radio shows, yeah.
And the radio shows.
That's it.
You know,
yeah.
The thing, I've always said, the more things change, the more they stay the same, the only thing that changes are the players.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Although, I was thinking when I was watching that movie, and I was watching some of it the other night as well, I'd like to go. At least it seemed like there was some semblance of principle in the Congress, you know.
You know,
we don't have anything close to what was going on in that movie now.
There was another movie that came out a little bit more of a comedy, and Eddie Murphy. It was called The Gentleman from Florida, or something. Gentleman from Florida, I think it was. Anyway, he's a real shyster and con artist. He winds up getting into Congress on a name that somebody died, and he just changed his first name and got in there, and went in there with intentions just to be straight, and goes in there and finds out how much money is involved. You know, I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, it was a good movie. It showed you, you know, well, of course it was a movie, but. But it's true.
How
they go, you know, I'm sure some of them go in there with intentions to be straightforward and do for the country, and then the money starts to flow in, or the money is there, and say, hey, well, you know, if you change your vote a little bit here, we can make it. And once you do it once, you know, it's hard to take it back.
That's right.
Donald Trump never took a dime when he was president.
That's right. He actually gave it back.
Yeah, he gave his salary back.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Did you hear what happened? Did you hear what happened in Disney World this weekend?
No.
You know the Hall of Presidents there with the animatronic things? You know the damn Biden thing walked off stage?
Very good.
I'm just kidding.
Wouldn't that be a kick?
I'd pay to see that.
I would pay to see it. That would be funny. Oh, Lord. It's always a pleasure to have you, Angelo. Thank you so very much, my friend. Godspeed. We'll talk again.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
All right, you too. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 cities with the highest murder rate so far this year.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Please clap.
I wonder what ever happened to Jeb Bush. Is he still living in Florida? And he must be.
What do you mean, what happened? After that, nothing happened. I mean, he was politically done.
Yes, indeed. I just wonder, I guess he's just... Living the good life.
And if you ever want the epitome of raising the white flag, that was it right there. That was it.
Poor old Jeb. I want to remind you that we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on the great Tantalk Radio Network. I'm so delighted that you're listening to us. But if you cannot listen to us at those times, thanks to Ed, all our shows are on podcast. So you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button, and he's got all our shows. Most recent show at the top. And before you even get into the show, you'll know who the top, who the guest is, and the topic, and what our top 10 is. Ourfreedomworks.com. Before we go to some other things, you know, we're feeling bad about the gas prices here in Florida. Well, they're about $3.70 or something like that right now, a gallon, I'm guessing. Yeah. You know what it is in California? In some places, it's over $7 per gallon.
You know,
gallon.
I saw that this weekend. That? I did. I was like, wow.
City gas in some parts of California are now surging past $6 a gallon for regular, while the average price is hovering around $5.80. That is up about 30 cents from a week ago. In Long Beach, prices are $6.06 a gallon. Alpine County, which I've been to, it's up in the higher echelons on the state border with Nevada. The average price of gas there is nearing $7 a gallon. $7
Holy
a gallon.
Smokes. So,
how can these people in California vote for Biden again? That's my question. I just can't believe they would. I really can't. Hey, before we get to our top 10, real quick, Ed, we have our beloved Buccaneers playing football tonight.
Yes, they are. They are home against the Eagles tonight. It's 7 o'clock tonight because there are two games on it. I don't know why they're doing that.
They are doing two a night now, aren't they?
No, just on Monday night.
What time is our Bucs play?
7 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
And then the other game is at 8 something, whatever.
And how are the Rays doing?
I think they got beat. I got to tell you, I was under the weather all weekend, and it was whatever TV I watched, I don't remember.
Okay.
But I believe they lost 2 out of 3 from the Blue Jays.
Finally, are we going to have a new stadium for the Rays?
Yes, and that deal's supposed to be going to go before the council and all that stuff.
Yeah, it has to go before.
But
Petersburg.
Sounds like they're going to push it through. I don't get it. I mean, so you're telling me that the biggest change is going to be the building? I don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
About half and half, right? The owners of the Rays are going to pay for half of the stadium.
Yeah.
And then the people in Pinellas and St. Pete are going to pay for the other
supposedly
half.
Supposedly, the more money will go on the field in players. But you know what? If you're running third right now in the league, as far as with the best record, how much better can you do? How much more are you going to spend?
I wouldn't change whatever they're doing.
I would keep it. I would pay the people that are finding these players double.
Yeah. They've got a great farm system. Absolutely. All right. It's time for our top 10. And if you were with us on Friday, we gave you the top 10 cities with the most murders. Most murders so far this year. Chicago, my beloved city of Chicago came in number one. This time, top 10 cities, highest murder rate per 100,000 people. Here we go, number 10. Of course, it's Chicago. They have 24 murders per 100,000 people. Number 9, Newark, New Jersey. Isn't that where Menendez, the guy that's about to be kicked out of the Senate, the Democrat?
Oh, he was a dirty SOB, wasn't he?
Yeah. Wow. Newark, New Jersey, 25.6 deaths per 100,000.
He not only got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, but he had cookies in his pocket.
He did, along with a couple of gold bars.
And the crumbs were in his bed.
You got it. Number 8, Memphis. I lived there as well. Memphis, Tennessee, 27.1 murders per 100,000. Number 7, Kansas City, Missouri, 31.2 per 100,000. Wow. Number 6, gee, Las Vegas is dangerous. Las Vegas. Don't go there wandering down the street.
You know, I hate to say it, but you know, Vegas is getting a lot of sports teams. They've got hockey now.
Yeah.
They've got football.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking to get baseball. And that draws a lot of the, you know, the betting crowd.
Yeah, oh, well, they're already there.
Yeah.
You think it might be? It might influence the integrity of the sports.
It brings visitors, not the people that live there.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem.
Yeah, wow. Anyway, 31.4 murders per 100,000 in Las Vegas. Number 5, Cleveland. Good old Cleveland, 33.7 per 100,000. Number 4, the Motor City, Detroit, 39.7 per 100,000. Number 3, the Big Easy. You know what the Big Easy is?
Sure, New Orleans.
That's it. 40.6 murders per 100,000 people in the Big Easy. It ain't so easy in the Big Easy to get from one place to another without...
No, you know,
without getting whacked.
If you go in there to visit, stay on Bourbon Street, and that's it.
Yeah. Oh. You've been there, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Number 2, Baltimore. Good old Baltimore. They've had some bad news. They got horrible schools in Baltimore. We were talking about that in our last show. 51.1 murders per 100,000 people. All right, Ed, I hope you've been listening. Do you have any idea what the number one city is, the highest murder rate?
That'd be New York City.
That's a good guess, but it's not.
Really?
That is correct. It's not. It's in the Midwest, and we already said Chicago and Detroit. We got a little time, so I can tease you on this one.
I don't know.
Not far from Chicago.
I don't know.
It's in Missouri.
Okay.
Well.
Branson, Missouri.
St. Louis, Missouri has the highest murder rate.
I thought about that. It was right across the border, so
yeah. They have 69.4 murders.
Wow.
Per 100,000. Baltimore has 51, and St. Louis, and they're second. St. Louis has got 69.
Mm.
They're way ahead. What's going on?
As long as we keep Tampa St. Pete out of
there. Yeah, well, they're not. We're kind of safe down here. All right. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Wednesday. Meantime, be safe out there, and remember, freedom works.
And the sunlight hurts my eyes. And something without want to love bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you. And the world's all right with me.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.